The house of God, amen. The house of God is a group of people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are gathered together around His Word, singing to Him and also hearing His Word. I love coming to this camp, and there are a few reasons why I love coming to this camp. It's because the people running the camp have a heart for God, and they're very well organized, and they're very watchful in how they do things, and so they're not just flippant and careless, but they are very careful, God-fearing way and the way they do this camp. And I really appreciate that. I'm very comfortable when I come, and I have no problem whatsoever if we didn't have a camp ourselves for our church to bring Elisha here every year. So I appreciate the camp, appreciate the people running the camp and their labor in the camp, and God bless your fruit of your labor for His glory. Well, if you have your Bibles, please turn them to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. I want you to think about something this morning. If God were to give you one desire that you may have, and He'll fulfill that desire right now in your life, whatever you're going through, what would that desire be if God said, "What do you want from me?" And I'll give it to you right away. Of course, if it's in the line of what is right and not what's wrong. But what would you ask? What would it be? If the Lord said to you right now, "I'm going to fulfill a desire that you did ask, and I'll fulfill it," what would it be? I want you to think about that for a moment. In your life, what you're going through, if God gave you one desire, what would it be? I want you to be genuine in that request. Not really asking what you think is the right answer, but what's your heart desire? That's what I'm asking you. What is it you want from the Lord right now? What have you been praying for the last months, if you have been praying, if you have a relationship with the Lord? What would it be? 1 Kings chapter 3, and we'll begin from verse 3. The Bible says, "And Solomon loved the Lord." And go to verse 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that I cannot be numbered nor counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil." Notice what he says, "that I may discern between good and evil." Wow. Or good and bad. "For who shall be able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked these things, and hast not asked for thy long life, nor asked for riches for thyself, nor asked for life of thy enemies, but had asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honour, so that there shall be not be anything the king among the kings like unto thee or thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awake, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered a burnt offering, and offered a peace offering, and made a feast to all his servants. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, shall we? Can I just get that down the touch? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you right now. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. We do ask and pray that you speak to our hearts by your word this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd remove any distractions. And please, Lord God, I help us to be focused, to hear your word and to do it in our lives. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who's been flying here before? Who's been in a plane? Okay? More than one time. All right? Great. I want you to think back to the time where you actually were sitting in that seat just before takeoff and you have the flight attendant right before you doing what? Giving you some instruction. And maybe if you've flown more than one time, you're sitting there, maybe like the rest of 95% of the people, reading your book, talking, or maybe some of you are praying. I don't know what it is, but not really listening to the instruction that the flight attendant is giving. Have you ever done that? I know I have. As a matter of fact, being in this message, I've been convicted lately just to give my attention to that lady that I've flown many times and just to go through the procedures again. Now, you could be sitting here or at church and you could be hearing the same thing told to you time and time again. But at the same time, you're not really hearing what the flight attendant is saying because you've heard it before. You're not really listening, and you're not really taking it in. So in case of emergency, when things do happen, you don't know really what to do. I want to speak about this message this morning, about this one thing. Solomon didn't ask for life, or long life, or health, or wealth, or prosperity. He didn't even ask for victory over his enemies. The greatest thing that Solomon asked for was that God will give him wisdom and understanding and discernment that he may lead a people. He wanted to know what was right and what was wrong. He wanted to do the right things before God. He wanted to give the right answers to God's people. He didn't want to make a mess of being a leader that would give wrong counsel. He wanted right counsel for the people of God. And what you need, young people, in your life is you need right counsel, right discernment to make right decisions for your future. I mean, you can say, well, you know, I've been thinking about, just the Lord's leading up to getting married one day and I'm perhaps wanting to get married one day, but you need the right wisdom to know who to marry. You can't just marry anyone that comes along. And you may say, oh, yeah, I want to be this, and I want to be that, I want to go to this university or that university. Well, you need the right wisdom to know which university to go to. I mean, these are well and good, these decisions, and probably what you were thinking about wasn't a bad decision. It wasn't bad in itself. You know, maybe some of you are thinking, oh, I want to become this or become that, but what does God want you to become? So the good things are not necessarily bad, but they can be bad when they're against God's counsel for your life. And so what you want to ask this one thing is, God, I need what you want me to have. I need your counsel in my life. As a preacher, I say, God, what do you want for our people? Where do you want us to go? And when they do come for me for advice, I want to be sure that I give them right counsel for that particular person going for that particular time. Same thing as a parent. Same thing as a husband. Now, for you guys, it's making some, or you girls and ladies and men, young men, it's making decisions for your future, because one decision can set the direction in a good way or in a bad way. And it will be a terrible thing for you to go down the wrong track because you made a bad decision and you regretted your life. And you sit in regret. This one thing he asked for. You say, how do you get wisdom? Where do you get it from? Well, the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is the good teaching of God. I mean, if you got any teaching that's good, it's from God. And it's the word of God. And it's profitable for reproof. Reproof tells you what is wrong. So God's word tells me when I get it wrong. Okay? If I'm not doing something right, he tells me that. And then for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, he tells me how to get that wrong right. Okay? I stuffed up. I messed up. Now how do I fix it? How do I stop living a stuffed up life? How do I get back on track according to the word of God? And then instruction in righteousness. How do I keep it right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to keep making bad decisions with the same decision all the time. I want to learn from that decision, from God's word, and I want to continue moving forward, growing in wisdom, and not falling into the same temptation all the time. So God's word brings out the wisdom, instruction, and understanding and discernment that you need to live out your life. You don't need to look beyond this book. Do you know why so many people today are so messed up? Because they're going to people like Oprah Winfrey. She gives advice so you can be a loser, not a winner. So he wants to lead you the wrong way. And Dr. Feelgood, he wants to make you feel good for the moment, but in the long term, he wants to ruin your life. And people go to these people. People promote these people. Christians even go to these people. And for blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. These people are not God-fearing people. Now that they've got some things that may be right, okay, but not all that they say is right. And all these things that they give you, by the way, you can't keep them if they're right without God. And you can't do the things that they give you that are right, that are principles perhaps found in the Bible, and that's why they confuse some people, because they say, oh, that's true, that's right. You can't keep it with a good motive if it weren't for God. And the Bible says there is no wisdom, nor counsel, nor understanding against the Lord. And so for you to find wisdom that is true and right, it's from the Bible. Are we, your preacher, your parents, don't tell you to get in the Word of God just for the sake of doing your devotions. Oh, here we go, we just ticked it off for the day. Let's go and move on. What did you get out of it today? The things that you have been thinking about, pondering upon. People go to different things. They go Google these days for an answer. Can you believe it? They get on Google and they want to type in a question and they ding and they trust Google for it. Now, if Google leads you to a spiritual, God-fearing church that has the answers by the Word of God, amen. But most of the times, it's not that. So it's not so. So wisdom comes, true wisdom that is, from the Word of God. And wisdom, in particularly for decisions made everyday life, can come from the book of Proverbs. You want to turn there? Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Now, the book of Proverbs was actually, most of the book, 95% of the book, was written by Solomon. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 12, you don't have to turn there, just listen, because I know you're turning to Proverbs. It says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that that there was none like thee, behold, before thee. So God granted to Solomon over 3,000 proverbs and songs. He also had written the Songs of Solomon. And so these are heavenly wisdom, the book of Proverbs, and these songs, heavenly wisdom for an earthly walk. Solomon couldn't have the wisdom that he had without God. You say he's the wisest man on earth, and he was. Okay, and we say that he was the wisest man in the sense that there's no one before him or after him. We know Jesus was after him, but Jesus was God. That goes without saying. We're not comparing a man versus God. As a matter of fact, God gave him the wisdom. We know that Jesus is God. Amen? But this is the thing. God gave him that wisdom, and he penned down the wisdom that he gave to him that you can have. So in other words, not only Solomon could be wise, you can. You can make wise decisions. You can discern what's wrong, what's right, what's good, what's bad. And why, you've got to get in the Word of God. You say, how do I get wisdom to make right decisions? Get in the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Look at what Proverbs says, verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction. What are these proverbs for? What's a proverb anyway? It's a poem, a discourse. It's a byword. It's like a parable, metaphor. It's a metaphor by nature to convey a truth. Sometimes it uses those different things, figure of speech, to convey truth. And so the Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction. To know is to have knowledge. And God wants to give you knowledge of his wisdom so you have it. And it's in the book. You've got to get in the book. And then it says to perceive the words of understanding. In other words, to distinguish, to attend, to understand what these wisdom is, how to apply it in my life, what's good, what's bad, what's light, what's darkness. So it's to have a distinguished, to perceive the words of understanding. And then it says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment. Actually, to receive means to take out, to draw from, to carry away. And then he says to give subtlety to the simple, the young man, knowledge and discretion. To the simple, that means to the gullible one. We have a lot of gullible people. We're gullible. Isn't that right? And if you don't get in the Word of God, then you're finished. The simple is one that believes anything and everything and doesn't test it. In other words, doesn't think. Just someone tells him something, let's go there, let's do this. Oh, yeah. Doesn't think. Is it good? Is it right? Is it biblical? Is it against my parents' will? They're just with their friends. Oh, yeah, let's just go along. The simple one accepts everything and everything, anything and everything. That's the simple one. And God wants to give you this wisdom subtly, like a good kind of subtly, you know, so you can discern and make the right choice when the tough choices come. And they're going to come. Oh, yeah, when you hit your university time, when you go into a workplace, they're going to come. You're not going to be in your house protected. You're not. I know some of you have been homeschooled. That's not wrong. That's good. But there's going to be a time where you're going to be faced with tough decisions and your parents can't make those decisions anymore for you. You're going to have to make them yourself. Are you able to stand? Are you able to continue to make those decisions and trust that your parents will lead you in the right way? And I'm not going to get into the different things that may happen to you maybe later on in the week to come, that if you don't listen to godly counsel, what could happen and where you could end up. And perhaps I'll give you some illustrations. But the book of Proverbs is godly wisdom from heaven for an earthly walk. And if you can get on, if you can go a chapter a day amongst your other Bible reading, that would be great. And maybe just from that chapter, you get one verse that God will speak to your heart about and that you can note it down. So anyway, we see over here, let's go through a few Proverbs together, okay? Let's just see what the Proverbs, what they're good for, and give you an appetite to continue to go into the Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Chapter 29, verse 25. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. So in other words, when you fear man and his opinion and the way they perceive you to be, it snare you down and trap you and get you to do some things that you never thought you'd do. So in other words, if you're in a group or a group of friends and you're afraid of their opinion and what they think, because if you don't do it their way, say it their way, walk their way, they might laugh at you. Did you know what can quench the laughter of those people? Just fear God. I didn't care about what you think. I didn't care about your smiles and laughter and your 10 cents worth of criticism. I fear the Lord. And because I fear the Lord, no one's going to move me because I'm here to please Him. But the fear of man will snare you down and trap you down to become what man wants you to be instead of what God wants you to be. It's called peer pressure. They want you to lead. They want to go the way they're going. So, by the way, some of them don't even know that they're going this way. They've been influenced by Satan in the world. They need you to make the right decision so you can show them that no, there's a better way than your way. But if you're snared down by their opinions and what they think of you, forget it. You're in a trap. And you're going to be in that trap. And the way you get out of that trap is say, no, I believe the Bible over anything and anyone, and that's going to be my guide. That's going to be my direction. So I'll lose friends. Good. You don't need friends like that that take you in the wrong direction. You need to flee from these friends. If you can't be there to influence them for good and they're going to influence you for bad, what are you doing there? And if you can't make a difference amongst your peers and friends, and then don't. Back off. If you think that the temptation is too great, get away. Escape. Don't dabble in those things. Be snared down. You'll be trapped. And you'll be making right decisions, wrong decisions that will affect your life for all eternity. Some of you is probably even for salvation. You're afraid of what people will think because one day you made a profession, you said the sinner's prayer, but you haven't been changed. And you're now afraid what people may think of you because you've been baptized, you've come to church, but you don't have that true relationship that you thought you did, and you found out you did some through a message or something, and now you're afraid of what people think just in case you told them that you were never the real deal. Are you afraid? Are you living in a false hope? That's not worth going to hell for. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whosoever putteth their trust in the Lord shall be made safe. As a matter of fact, we've just come along, we've heard a couple of testimonies about people that realized they weren't Christians and they wanted to become Christians after they were baptized. You know what we said when we found out, we said, Amen! You know why? Because that was what they're going through. That's their sin, hypocrisy, whatever it is. Mine, forget about it. If I told you my sinful ways, I'm the cheap of sinners. And if anyone wants to get up and throw stones for those that, you know, are caught up in their sin of hypocrisy, because they didn't understand when they were little, when they made that decision, but now they want to understand that they do want to follow, and you want to throw stones at them, just put your stones back in the basket and take them home. Because you are a sinner and you were saved by grace, and they're a sinner and that's their sin that God's saving them from. Just put your trust in the Lord. And what I'm trying to say is, don't fear man, fear God. That's what that verse is telling us. And when you fear God, you'll be safe. Let's go to another proverb. Proverb chapter 31. The Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Oh, this is a woman that simply is understanding that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. I don't need the favor of the world. I don't need the fame of the world. I don't need the stars of the world. I'm not going to be governed, ladies. I'm not going to be governed by how many men can look at me in one day and compliment me. No. It's not about that. I want my favor to be of God. I want to dress in such a way that I'm pleasing God and not men. You know why some ladies dress the way they do? So they can attract men. So the men can look at them and they, you know, get their attention. But, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you want to try to get someone's attention, look in the mirror and say, God, I want to dress for you today and I want to get your attention. I want to look, talk, walk for you. Favor is deceitful. You're trying to win the favor of people. It's deceiving. But when you win the favor of God by putting your faith in Him and trust in Him, you can please Him. And beauty is vain. You know what? Hollywood's spending so much money trying to look younger and feel younger. But some of them today, by all their plastic surgeries and all that, look scary. I'm serious. Why don't you just be how God made you? Use a bit of makeup? Good, little, but don't overdo it. Don't hide your face. That's what God gave you. Be happy with what God's given you. And be loved for the fact that God fashioned you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you who you are. Beauty is vain. A diamond or a jewel or precious ruby is one that fears the Lord. The inner character of a person is what God looks at. And strive to be that person. God says that all these things, favor, beauty, vain, but one that fears the Lord, that person shall be praised. Let's look at another one. Aren't the Proverbs really good? They just help you out. Help you have a right perception. How to think, how to live. Who to please, who to fear. Proverbs 17, verse... Actually, we'll skip that one for the sake of time. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3, verse 7. The Bible says, "Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." That word depart means to turn off, to rebel, to revolt, to eschew. So what God wants you to do is depart from evil. He wants you to flee. He wants you to get away from that which is wrong. What is evil? When we think about evil, we think about what? What is it? What do we think about? Help me out. Okay, sin, let's define it. What is it? Be more specific. What's evil? Yep. Okay, last, what else? Yep. Okay, what are those things that are displeasing to the Lord? Yes. Greed, yep. What else? Love of money, yep. Good. Idols, yes. What else? Okay, good. Anything that is against God's word, let's be practical. That's when preaching comes along, when you're practical and pointing these things out. A lot of people define what's against the law. You know, your definition of that compared to someone else's may be different. Oh, we can worship the Lord this way, and that person's worship the Lord this way, and they twist scripture and they use it for their benefit. Can I just say this? You know what's evil? Your ways against God's ways. What you want to do and the decisions that you want to make in life against God's decisions for you. Even if you have two good decisions, even though they're good decisions, it can be bad because you're going against where God wants you and where God wants you to be. Right? That's evil. Because you're not doing what God, you're not doing God's will. Let's just say that. You're not going where God wants you to be. Let me say, the decisions that you make in life, are you actually really consulting God? Is He really your guide? Do you really want His opinion about where you should go? That will take too long. Is it worth the wait? Or you just want to do what you want to do? That's evil. Another evil thing is just hypocrisy. Living a double life. It's probably one of the things that disgusted Jesus with the Pharisees. Looking the part, talking the part, but not living the part. That's evil. And another one is keeping your integrity right before God, even when things don't go your way. Are you still able to worship Him? That's what happened to Job. He says, "I have a man that's perfect and upright, that fears God and eschews evil." And God goes on to say later on when he was afflicted, "I have a man, consider him, that is perfect, upright, fears God, eschews evil, and still has his integrity when all these things have been done to him." And Job didn't deserve these things. And so when things don't go the way you planned, or when things happen in your life that you think, where did this come from, and perhaps will get you to doubt God's love for you, are you still able to hold your integrity and worship Him and follow Him and submit to His ways, knowing that His ways are the best ways? The fear of the Lord, departing from evil. That proverb here speaks a lot about kind of what the theme is all about. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Too many people are just having their own opinion. I think this and I think that. I feel this and I feel that. Well, you need to go to the Word of God and see what He says about the matter. And that will put the fire out, everyone's opinion and everyone's feelings. And if you go to the Word of God, you get His counsel, you get His wisdom, I guarantee you, you'll live a safe life. Can God right now, can He look at you right now? Can He look at you right now? Can He say, that person, yes. There's no one else I could see that is walking the way I want them to walk. That's what He said about Job. That's a big compliment. Was Job a sinner? Absolutely. What did he do? Submitted to God's authority, God's wisdom, God's ways. Can God say that about you? That everything you do, small or big decisions, that you're actually really consulting God's wisdom. book of Proverbs is one of the ways that we can get wisdom. Second of all, another way is when you ask God. We're not going to go through those verses for the sake of time. But James says, you have not because you ask not. And so sometimes there are some things that God gives us, but man, who do I marry? Where do I go? The person's name's not here. Okay, so I go to God in prayer and God leads me. The still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God communicates to me. Doors open, doors close. But you have to go to God in prayer. And maybe you got this beautiful verse here from Proverbs. How do I apply that to my life? Because I have to apply that to everyday living. So how do I, Lord, please help me to understand. And so I ask God for wisdom and he gives it to me. Solomon asked for wisdom and he gave it to him. The Bible says he abradeth not. That means he's not going to hold back. But many a times we make the wrong decisions because we don't go to God's word and we don't ask God for wisdom. Lastly, you want to get wisdom? Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... That's right. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. See how C.H. Spurgeon said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are altogether greater fools for it. To know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. It's one thing to know, but it's another thing to do. And what he's saying, I love it, because you know and you don't do, you're a greater fool. That's hard hitting. That is very hard hitting. Is it better for me for I didn't know? Well, not really, because that's ignorance. And ignorance can get you into a lot of danger. Oh, I was ignorant. I should not have made that turn. That's better if you look at the map so you can make the right decision. But if I look at the map, turn right here, and I don't, I turn left, that's foolish. Isn't that right? But if I turn right, it's not really the way I want to go. Well, it's probably the narrow way, it's waiting way, harder way, but it's the best way. At the end of it, there's long-term safety. There was a story about US Airways Flight 1549. It crash landed in the Hudson River in 2009. And the reason why it actually crashed was some birds had flown into the engine. The guy that was in one of the seats gave a testimony. And he said, when the pilot over the microphone said, brace yourself, we're crash landing, he said, I didn't even know what that meant. He said, everyone was looking around. He said this. Everyone was looking at each other saying, crash landing, brace yourself. Like, boo, what do we do? Until right from the back, a voice came. One of the flight attendants strapped up in her seat. Put your heads down! Heads down! Everyone just bobbed for the crash landing. Right at the time where the calamity comes, wisdom will mock you because you didn't take it. That's what Proverbs says. When your calamity comes and it comes like a whirlwind and you made a decision that was against what you knew to be right, wisdom laughs at you. Why? You don't have to have it to laugh at you. You can make right decisions. You can ask God for this one thing that will bring long-lasting success in your life. Jesus said, a wise man builds his house upon a rock. He's the one that hears the word of God and lives it. But the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. He's the one that hears the word of God and walks away from it. And when the storm comes, the wise man stands strong because he's living it. But the foolish is finished. Gone. Gone with the wind. Why? Because he did not live this one thing. He didn't want God's way. He wanted his own way. And I just want to start this message by saying, I beg you, what you hear from these messages and what you heard last night, don't let it go through one ear and out the other. I see a lot of people come up and say, oh, great sermon. And in my heart, I say, well, great. Not to everyone. I know some people that are living it. But when I see some people that are not really living it and they're not showing fruits of having God in their life and they're really just living their own way, I'm thinking, you can compliment me all you want about the Word of God, but I just hope that you live it. It's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to do it. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment right now to think upon this message. You say, Brother Charlie, please pray for me. I want to make a decision right now not to just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Please pray for me. Maybe that's your prayer. I want to get Brother James to close in prayer, and I want him to pray for you. And I believe in prayer. So if you lift up your heart and your hand, may God see it. And Brother James will close in prayer for you, that you'd be a person not only hearing the word, but walk out this camp living the word. So please pray for me. Anyone like that, you can lift up your hand. Anyone like that? Amen. 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 Hands everywhere. Anyone else? Amen. 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 Hands down. Anyone else? Say, I want to live the word. I don't want to be a fool. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to be a fool. I want God's wisdom. I want this one thing. Anyone else? Before we close, amen. Anyone else? Brother James, if you come up and just close with a word of prayer. Thank you.